Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, I want to talk to you about something that is very important. For some of you, it'll be a reminder and maybe even cause you to recall experiences that you've had with the Lord. For some of you, this might be a little bit new. Some of you who call this your church home now and attend here and are involved, some of you have had no real church experience prior to coming here at New Life. For some, you have some church history. You've gone to a different church, and it could have been in the Fellowship of the Assemblies of God. It could have maybe been in a full gospel church. Maybe it was in another denomination or fellowship, and it's just part of your church history. And so this morning, this might be, like I said, new for some, and it's okay. I mean, we all grow. I'm still growing in my understanding and my experiences and knowledge of the Lord and how to live the Christian life and all of that. And so what I want to share with you this morning is about a specific place. And a fixture, so to speak, in this building. It's in the room that we're in together. And I want to talk a little bit about what we call the altar. Now, for us here, we call the altar area this kind of the front of the church here. This space between the steps and the platform and kind of where the front row starts. And we just call this the altar area or the altar. And you've probably heard terms, you know, many of you, about, an altar call, which means that there's a call that's sent out for people to respond to God and come to the altar. You know, that maybe that's foreign to some of you, but there's something called an altar call. And it's not, I don't want you to think it's like this man-made experience thing. We find the altar all the way back into the Old Testament. And of course, the function of the altar still holds a primary purpose, but God has changed some things about the altar. In the Old Testament, the altar was known as a place where sacrifices were made. They would bring a variety of different animals according to the laws, and they would sacrifice them and offer them to the Lord. And, you know, it would spill their blood because there's, as Scripture says, there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Well, in the Old Testament, they would go through a lot of ceremonial things and religious sacrifices. And we find in the Old Testament that God says, you know, the blood of bulls and goats does not satisfy. It doesn't really pay for sin. See, understand, something happened, and you'll see this even in our own nature with things, that they started to sacrifice these animals according to the law to go through the motion, but their heart was not engaged in personal faith in God. In other words, this is what we do, and this is what we offer, and therefore, if I go through this motion, then, you know, I get forgiveness, and I'm good to go, and I can keep living my life the way I want, and then I can just bring more sacrifices. See how that can become empty for us? For people? Even for us. There's religious things that we can do that are supposed to have meaning, but if our heart isn't in it, or our heart isn't, you know, for the Lord, and we just go through the motion, it just becomes religion. In acts that don't mean anything. And so God, loving people and wanting to restore, he sends his only son. to die on a cross, to shed his blood once and for all so that we don't have to keep bringing animals. Well, I want you to know that that doesn't remove the purpose of the altar, because the interesting thing about this altar, and we can have altars in a variety of places in our life. It's not just in this building, just in this location. And you can find that throughout Scripture, and I'll relate to maybe one or two and talk a little bit about the altar and the experience. This altar here is still about sacrifice. Now, we're not bringing animals in. Please do not bring your cattle in next week. Okay? It has no purpose. It's about the blood of Christ. He shed his blood once and for all, like we shared in communion this morning. Why this place is still a place of sacrifice is this. It is a place of prayer where you and I have the opportunity to come and say, you know what? I want to die to me, my ways. See, a place of death, I'm sacrificing, I want to crucify, so to speak, or lay my will on the altar to be consumed and burned up. And I want simultaneously to happen for the resurrected Christ to now live in me, change me, that his Spirit, the Spirit of life, gives me life. It's this, I'm born again of the Spirit. I look the same, people call me by the same name, but I have had an experience of dying to myself and now living unto Christ. See? An expression of faith, a place of expression, sincerity of faith. Those kind of things happen at this altar. See, it's still a place of sacrifice. There's a place in the Scripture, New Testament and Old, where it talks about we bring a sacrifice of praise. Where this morning we sang songs of worship, and in this sanctuary and, you know, over this altar area, we bring a sacrifice of praise. It's a gift that we offer the Lord. The altar was a place of bringing gifts. It's why the Scripture relates to, if you're bringing a gift, but you have animosity towards your brother, bring your gift to the altar, leave it. Don't present it to the Lord. Leave it there. Go make things right between you and your brother. Do your part. And after you've done that, come back then and present your gift of worship to the Lord. It's saying this, why come and worship and have all this sentiment and go through the motions of worshiping the Lord and you have hatred and vengeance and resentment in your heart towards someone else? Then our gift is no good. See? Some of you might be going, oh man, I just went through worship and praise and I have that in my heart. You mean to tell me that didn't count? Yeah, kind of. And now don't be condemned. Don't just say, you know what? Hey, I learned something. I need to go and make things right. In other words, live out my faith in a very sincere, real, genuine way. And then I can come and bring worship and praise to the Lord in a clear conscience and in sincere faith. And I can go and have an altar experience, and it's done biblically and it's done right, rather than just going through religious motion, not searching my heart, and just thinking I'll go through the motion and therefore I'm okay. Like I did some good work. And the Lord looks upon our heart and what happens in our life and how we live for him, how we interact with him, are we endeavoring to follow him? And he knows we trip and fail, but do we know how to ask forgiveness? Do we know how to repent? Do we know how to let him encourage us and inspire us to continue to work through the transformation of who we are according to his purpose and will and no longer ours, that we can come now and bring praise and worship to him? In Genesis 35, is Old Testament, there's a man named Jacob, and he is on a journey because he's fleeing from his brother who wants to pursue him and really hurt him, put it in layman's terms. And along the way, Jacob comes to this place. And he comes to this place where he has a revelation of God, an experience with God. It wasn't in a temple. It wasn't in a sanctuary. It wasn't at a chapel. It wasn't in a synagogue. He comes to this place, and he has this experience. He kind of has it out with God, and God reveals himself to him. And afterwards, Jacob built an altar there. I want you to know that the altar is a place where we get to experience God. There's a revelation of who he is. There's an assurance that can come. There's new direction that can come to our life. And we call those an altar experience, a place where revelation, we get to know a little more, we get to understand a little more of who Jesus is, who God is, who the Spirit is. And so he built this altar because that's what happened there. And that's what altars are about. It's about making a sacrifice. It's about making a renewal commitment to Christ. It's about furthering our faith in Christ. It's about a revelation experience that we have with God. I will tell you that the altar has been a very important place in my life. And that is not why I share this with you, that you have to have experiences like I've had. It's that these things are found in the Scripture in the importance of an altar. Now, some of you have an altar in your home. I don't mean you build one. It's just a place where you always go to have your private time with the Lord and read Scripture and pray. Maybe you do this as a couple. Maybe you do it as a family. You know, there's different places where there's a revelation of God that's greater than what we've experienced. We set this place aside. For some of you, there's different places. It's like here. I want you to know the altar was very important in my life. It is where I sat in a room and was in a church service and felt the compulsion of the Spirit of my own heart to choose to ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. I was expressing faith that Jesus is the Son of God. He's my Savior. He died for me. And I remember stepping out from where I sat, came to the front, stood at the front in this altar area, and this was brand new. It was different for me. I've never seen anything like this because I came kind of from a different church that didn't necessarily provide that opportunity. And that's not a criticism. It's not passing judgment. I'm just telling you the opportunity was not given. And so at this particular church, they had this area they called the altar, and they made a call to the altar for those who wanted to express faith in Jesus for the first time in their life. And I came and I stood there. And it was a moment of salvation for me where I confessed my sin, asked God to forgive me and to come into my life and make this personal. Not just some religious obligation, not just some religious routine. Personal, come into my life. I want you to make a difference every day in my life. And put faith in him as my Savior and became a Christian. I want you to know the altar was also a place where I experienced what the book of Acts talks about, what Scripture talks about, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with initial physical evidence. And I experienced that at an altar. Now, that can happen at different places, but the opportunity was given. I chose to take that opportunity, and God did this marvelous thing that was in Scripture. The altar was an important place. It's in that sanctuary and at the altar. And what happened there is where I received a call from him, a revelation to go and be in full-time ministry. I remember being at the altar at different times and in churches, and it was a place where people prayed for me, where I prayed for people, where I could express my hunger for the Lord, where I could express my need for the Lord or for healing, and healing was given to me. These beautiful experiences. And we live our life day to day based upon the Scripture and upon the truth, but it is wonderful to have at these different points and occasions in our life where we have these additional experiences of who God is to grow us in our faith. To understand that, he's greater than our circumstances and our situations. That he can help us walk through it. And there's a personal security and things that go on, an assurance with him. That this is not just some religious hour right now where we spend and we come in, we do a few things, and we leave. I want God to be present in this place. I want us to have opportunity, you and I, whether it's your first time here or you're here every week, I want us to have opportunity that we can take so this doesn't become just some church experience, but a real living experience where we get to see, encounter, be stirred up by the Spirit of the Lord to have opportunity to know Him. That's a real faith, a living faith. The kind of faith that you and I need when we come against hard things in our life, rather than empty, ceremonial form of religion in the name of God. We could do that here. I don't want to do that here. This is His living Word, the living Christ. He wants to be in my life. He wants to be in your life. It's an amazing thing because He knows your history. He knows my history, and He still loves us. Some of you know each other's history, and you're going, I'm not so sure about them. God still loves us. He's still got a plan for you. These altar areas, this altar experience makes a difference for us. It's like these little launching pads along the way that kind of launch us into a further relationship with Him. Hey, we got to live it out each day. Every day is important, you know, but some days they're just not a launching pad. It's just kind of a grind, and you work like you do in any other relationship, but then there's these moments that inspire and kind of redirect our life and move us along, and we receive something, all because we have this experience with God at an altar somewhere. The altar is a place of expression. It's a place where we express faith, we can express need, we can express ourselves in prayer for ourselves, for someone else, a place where we bring a gift or sacrifice of worship to the Lord, a place where we get to express hunger. Listen, I have been around people long, just like many of you, but around ministry long enough, and I can hone it in just to even this church. I have been here now long enough to say I've had enough relationship with so many of you over a decade that I've watched things happen in your life and have walked with some of you through some things in your life. And I'm grateful for that. And I've even looked at it in my own life, some things that, you know, the Lord has walked me through. It's interesting. Person who comes to church and they're somewhat faithful at church, I mean, they believe in Christ as their Savior, and I watch something difficult come into their life, whether it's maybe sickness or it's, oh boy, I did something wrong and there's going to be some consequences that might affect my job or something that might affect my family or, you know, something like that. And I've watched these things happen, and now I've watched this individual or this couple, and they're going through this, and all of a sudden, they worship more intensely than they did before. They start coming to the altar. They start letting people pray with them. They make appointments to come and see me and, you know, share part of their life and part of their brokenness, and they're looking for encouragement, and they're looking for instruction and maybe some scripture that will help, and just a safe audience that's not going to repeat their personal things. And I watch this happen, and they get real, you know, and as they go through it, they start to go, whoa, is the Lord faithful? Whoa, the Lord's just taking care of me. Oh, the Lord's just showing up. I take more time to read the Bible in my personal life. I'm praying more. And they start to go, man, I've been a Christian for years, but where have I been? I didn't know God could be like this. And then I watch the need go away. The healing comes, or the deliverance comes, or the circumstances get washed away by the Lord and through time. And now I watch them fade away. Their passion for Christ isn't the same. They don't visit the altar, so to speak, anymore. But man, when the need was there, they were on their knees. They didn't care whether it was an altar call or not. They made their way. And they would share their, you know, probably share some tears and shed some tears and go through. And they were asking people to pray for them. And they just, they couldn't shake this thing. And they were growing. And there was a revelation of God. And they were hungry in the Word. And I've watched how that fades away in our life. And they kind of skip the altar. It's not to condemn us. It's maybe to remind us. You see, you and I use a lot of fixtures here at this building. You used the door this morning to get in here. I'm pretty smart, aren't I? Listen, you used the door. You used the fixture. Some of you, you went into the cafe, our fellowship hall this morning, and you used the coffee bar, and you used some tables and chairs, and you used that room for what it was meant for. Some of you stopped out here at the water fountain, and you know, you pushed it, and you drank some water. Some of you were very glad to find out in the lobby that there's a door that says men and a door that says women. You used those rooms. You used the fixtures. You're glad, for those of you who have children with you, that there are some rooms and buildings and places in those rooms that are designed for children. You go into our nursery and toddler, and you'll find some toys, and you'll find DVDs, you know, with the Christian message, and they're for that age group. And there's these things that are in this building that are put here and built this way to be used according to their purpose. The chairs that you're sitting on this morning. You made your way into the sanctuary and you sat in these chairs. Well, I want you to know that along with the rest of these fixtures and locations in this building that are by design, so is this area of the church. It's for a purpose. It's here for us. Now listen, this isn't about, hey, let's get a bunch of people to the altar so pastor can feel good about his message, and when he talks to other pastors, he can say, man, the altars are filled at our church. I want you to know that that is not my motive. It's just not. My motive is that God would show up in this place and that it would be meaningful and personal for us and that opportunity would be given to you and I to have ongoing experiences with the Lord in addition to the other places in our life. You see, let us understand that it's not, the altar is not just to come to the altar that is supposed to be driven by need in our life. I mean, that's one way that we feel a need and we just feel like we've got to get closer to God. I mean, let's face it, when we come to the altar, it's an outward expression of an inward working of the Spirit or an inward faith that moves us, that we choose to be moved. I know that you and I can experience God in our chairs and in our car and other places. But don't exclude this altar. It's like every other fixture and location in this building, it is for a purpose. It is set aside, a place that is set aside. Listen, I talked about Jacob building an altar because it was a place of revelation. I want you to think about a man in Scripture. His name was Zacchaeus. You'll find him in Luke chapter 19. And Zacchaeus, if you don't know about him, he was a man of short stature. And Jesus was coming through town, and large crowds of people were getting around him. And Zacchaeus wanted to be able to see Jesus. And because of his physical stature, he couldn't see Jesus, couldn't quite hear Jesus, and he couldn't observe Jesus and how Jesus treated people and what he was saying and what he was doing. So Zacchaeus started to look at where Jesus was coming through town, where he was walking, where the crowd was, and anticipated he was coming down this way. And so Zacchaeus, what he did is he climbed a tree. His curiosity, his hunger, his interest caused him to climb a tree. A grown man to climb a tree. We're not talking about bow hunting here. We're talking about he wanted to do something so that he could get a vantage point on Jesus. Well, he picked the right tree and the right path, and Jesus comes along, and he gets a vantage point, and he begins to see, and as he gets closer, he can begin to hear. And Jesus stops. And he looks up, and he says to Zacchaeus, "Come down. I want to go have lunch at your place today." You see, an outward expression of this inward thing that was going on in him, an expression of hunger. You see, that's what this altar is sometimes it's an expression of hunger. Lord, it's not just that I have this great need. I want to know you. Jesus, if you're the Jesus of the Bible, I want to know you. And I'm going to call out to you, and I'm going to pray to you, and it's going to move me from where I'm seated to where the routine is and where the comfort is to a place that it doesn't matter what people think, I have got to do something. Let me ask you, do you think he would have been included in the story, in the account, in the scripture, if he would have never climbed the tree? Would God have ever responded like this if Zacchaeus didn't do something in faith, interest? I mean, it's a grown man climbing a tree. What's it going to take for you to climb a tree? What is it you want to see so badly that you wouldn't care what other people thought? By being an adult and climbing a tree to see something passing by. I'm not going to go to the altar because somebody's going to see me. Or I'm not going to go to the altar because I don't want people to think there's something wrong. I got news for you. We all know there's something wrong with you. And with the person next to you and the person in our own shoes. We all got some brokenness. We all got some need. We all have a need for God. What will it take to move us? Say, I don't care about that. I'm hungry. I want to know God. First Samuel chapter 1, you'll find a woman. Her name is Hannah. And she is married, but she is not the only wife of this man. And the other wife that he has, she's got children. She can't conceive. There's a problem. The other wife who has children, she picks on her. She makes life horrible for her. Her husband loves her, cares for her, but she doesn't have a child. She wants a child. They go up to offer sacrifices as they do every year. And they have a meal there. And they're having this time. And even on this religious experience, the other woman who has children is mocking her, making fun of her, picking on her, making life terrible for her. Hannah excuses herself and she goes into the sanctuary, stands there and prays silently, but her lips are moving. The priest, Eli, sees her, and her prayer is, God, will you hear my prayer? Would you look at my pain? Would you cause me to conceive? And I will take this son, and I will dedicate him to you and your work. I will give him over to the priest. I will return him to you for your leading, that you can do what you want with his life. And by the way, he becomes a great man of God who is known as Samuel. The priest even misunderstood. He saw her standing there talking kind of quietly and couldn't really hear. And he says, "Woman, how dare you come in here and be drunk. And she says, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not an evil woman. I'm praying to the Lord. And as he heard this, he said, may it be unto you as you have asked. And she went and conceived of a child. Listen, she could have went to a lot of places to do this, but where did she go? She excused herself from the meal, and she went into the sanctuary. You see, our youth, they have sometimes all-night activities in this building and a property, and I say, listen, go right ahead. Have a great time. Watch over and make sure everything's okay and planned and safe. But no Nerf gun wars in the sanctuary. Children's ministry, they might have a late night thing and they're running around the building and all that kind of thing. I said, that's great. But no hide and seek in the sanctuary. It's not because I don't want an instrument broke or a light broke or a chair wrecked. That stuff's just going to happen. It's that this place is set aside for something different. She went into the sanctuary to pray. You can look at places, Old Testament and New. Do you recall a paralytic man in Luke chapter 5? Jesus was in this house. It was so crowded with people. I mean, people were packed in there. Nobody could squeeze through the crowd. Well, these men had a paralytic friend. I'll just paraphrase it this way. And they said, we've got to get him in front of Jesus so Jesus can heal him. They went to the effort of getting up on the roof, tearing a hole in the roof, dropping the man down. Now, not dropping him like, hey, good luck, buddy. You know, they lowered him on some kind of gurney or whatever it was. And they lowered him down in front of Jesus. What effort and faith that took. Here, we don't have to tear off the shingles and work through the sheeting and everything else and come down through the, you know, the rafters and into this building. We just walk through a door down an aisle to get to a place that we call an altar, where a revelation can come, a prayer can come, healing can come. The list goes on of these encounters, these expressions of hunger. I mean, listen. We're here at church to worship the Lord, to hear His word, to pray, to call out to Him. Why is it that we most often talk ourselves out of coming to the altar? I know how this works. I know how it works. I kind of want to go. I kind of feel to go. I should probably get prayer. I don't need to. And after all, God can. He knows where I'm at right here in this chair in this part of the sanctuary. And if He wants to do something, He knows I'm here. Instead of an outward expression of a passion, a pursuit, a humility, this is God. I'm here. I want an altar experience. I want to know you more. I want to call out to you. I want to know what it is to have your presence come upon me. I want to know what it is your spirit to stir in me and transform my life. I don't want this fixture in this place in the church, this altar area, to be lost. I don't want it to fade away with time and with culture. This is a place that has been provided for you and I, in addition to other places. But let's not ignore this one. An opportunity and a place for you to take appropriate liberty to seek the Lord, to come to Him, to experience Him. To have some opportunity to go beyond the normal routine of walking in, singing some songs, sitting down, and leaving. Maybe raising a hand in worship. Maybe not. Why is it we talk ourselves out of coming when we should be talking ourselves into pursuing Him and every expression there is to find Him? Listen, here's something about the altar experience. When you come to the altar, you kind of intrinsically send this message, I'm going to pray, I'm calling on God, I'm going to praise Him, or I have a need, or I want someone to pray for me. I want to experience God somehow, some way. It just comes with this area. Opposed to when you walk through the lobby, you know, it's a little awkward for us to go, hey, can I pray with you? Hey, would you pray for me? Hey, would you? See, there's something about this location. There's something about this place. There's something about this fixture in this building. Place of ministry. Listen, I want to do something real quick. Would you humor me just for a moment? Would you please stand up? And those of you who physically you can't or you're just tired or whatever, I get it. You can stay right where you are just for a moment. But all of you who can stand, I want you to all get out of your chair. And I want you to walk and stand in the altar area. Come, just come on. I don't care if you're visiting the first time. Just come. You're thinking, hey, this is strange. This is weird. This is one of those Pentecostal, you know, the next thing they're going to be rolling on the floor and swinging from the chandelier. I want you to know I have been in Pentecost for a long, long time. And I've never seen anybody swing from a chandelier. Keep coming. Get in close. Get up here. You got to make room for people. All right? Now you're thinking, this is really strange. See, I want to go through this for a reason. Many of you have been around a full gospel and a Pentecostal experience and people believing for God to do things today like He did in the Bible. And coming to the altar is not a big a deal to you. You've been to one before. But many of you are newer to this church, and you call this your church home, but going to the altar is kind of a new thing because where you came from, no church or other church, you weren't provided these opportunities. And it's a little strange, it's a little peculiar, and you're thinking, oh, it's a little fanatical. Listen, just coming and going in and out of the chair and in and out of the building for however long you've been doing it, how far has that brought you in your faith? And what are we going to do more to go further in our faith? It takes action as an outward expression of inwardly what's going on. And it's not like if I go to the altar, therefore God is obligated to do this. No. It's another expression of faith, just like obeying Scripture, doing something else, choosing to do this, choosing not to do that. See, the altar is not about, well, if the Spirit moves me and transports me up to the altar, then I know it's the Lord. No, it's a choice. Why did you sit where you sat today? You just chose to sit there. Or you've been here long enough and you think that's your chair. But at some point, you just chose to sit there. Spirit didn't move you. You didn't come in and go, oh, Lord, move me now. Where should I sit? Get up. The Lord told me to sit there. You get out of my chair. You know, you didn't do anything. You just chose. It's like many other things. We choose. We choose to come. Well, I don't have a real need right now. No need for me to go to the altar. Yes, there is. It's about coming. It's about worshiping. Sometimes, and I'm not saying every time you come in the building, you got to go to the altar. I'm just telling you, it's not only need-driven. By the way, you've been standing now on the altar for a moment, a minute or two. Anything weird happen? Do this. Come on, everybody. See, no trap door. The altar has had a purpose throughout Scripture. The altar still has a purpose for people. It's still a place that's set aside to maybe experience God more than we have. It's still a location where I get to say, you know what? I'm not going to just sit here this morning or this evening or whenever it is. I am going to move and I'm going to offer a praise or I'm going to call on Him or I have a need. I need to conceive something in my life like Hannah conceived a baby. And I need to go, and I need to get to the altar. I want to get to the altar. And it's not, well, if Pastor would just make an altar call, I'd go. Well, he didn't make the call, therefore I don't have to go. Listen, you see from time to time people just spontaneously coming out of their chair and worshiping during the worship time up here. Some people, it's during the message. Every once in a while, there's somebody kneeling somewhere, and it's through the entire service. It is okay. It is not a spectacle. If you get way out of line and you become this big spectacle, listen, I'm okay with it. I'm a pretty gracious dude when it comes to that stuff. And you know what? If it's a spectacle and becomes a pattern, you and I can just have a private little talk and everything's cool. It's not a big deal. Listen, I'd rather have a little bit of a spectacle. I'd rather have a little bit of, well, maybe emotions and flesh kind of got in the way a little bit. I want you to know I'm okay with that. I would rather deal with that flesh than this flesh. I shall not be moved. That's flesh. This is a full gospel church, which should be a full gospel ministry. And it should happen in the marketplace and all over. But listen, we come together in this place to worship and seek Him and find Him, for Him to speak to us. How much are we investing? How much are we pursuing? Are we willing to move and go to a designated place or fixture in the church? When you come in and you're thirsty for water, you go to the water fountain. Maybe this is a place where we need to express our thirst for God, our hunger for God, our need for God, and not let just go through some religious motion and emptiness, but make this meaningful and make it personal. I don't want to, you know, degrade this to human terms, but think about this. You know, when you go to a concert or a ball game, you usually try to get the best seat you can. Why do we fight over the last row here? It's not the best seat. What about, I want to get a ticket to the altar. What about talking ourselves into pursuing God rather than, I'll come in, I'm here, I'll sit here, stand up, sit down, sing, sit down, listen, try to stay awake, sit down, and finally I get to go use the door. Where's the experience of a living God in that when we have been provided an area of fixture to experience God even more than maybe where we sit, where we stand? We're supposed to present ourselves to the Lord. It's our spiritual worship. We come into this place to present ourselves to Him. I want you to know that you've been standing here again for a while, and guess what? You're okay. You're okay. We're all right. We need to become acquainted with the ministry of God at a place called the altar. It should not be lost. And there are other places of ministry and places of altar in our life. I know this is not the only one. But when we come to this place, let's not just pass by this fixture or only come so close and we're leaving. This needs to become very much a part of our life here. The woman with the issue of blood, remember her? Jesus was coming, there's a crowd around, doctors couldn't help her, she spent all the money she had. And she thought, if I can just somehow get through this crowd and just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I could be healed of this that no one can heal me of. She made her way through. She was hungry. She was in need. She was desperate. She made her way through. She touches the hem of His garment, and Jesus says, who touched me? His disciples say, what do you mean who touched you? We're all touching you. Everybody's pushing in around you. He said, no, I felt power go out from me. That expression of faith made a withdrawal from the power and the presence of Jesus because she took enough effort to pursue Him. Where's my pursuit of Him? That I could fill a withdrawal ticket out on all the deposits of who God is and apply it to my life. Do you think we would have ever heard about her if she didn't make her way to do something out of the ordinary not to be a spectacle. She just needed to get in touch with Jesus. Something beyond the other routines of her life. You're in a full gospel church. We believe in the full ministry of the Spirit. And we believe in the altar. We believe ministry can happen other places, not the only place. Please don't hear that. But I'm telling you, this fixture, this location, in this building, has to be used just like other fixtures and places in this building are for a purpose. Hear the call and the renewal of the altar in our life.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.